being William Hamilton Esquire.
No, not that there. This is just for, that's a spot man there.
I confess, you do get described that way. I'm not doing any harm. It's all right. It's usually, you know, Will's cousin that gives us potatoes.
It'd be worse if you were known for doing bad things, William.
Mark.
Mom's
nephews. Ashi, Ryan, and Finan. Thank you.
Good crack. Right, guys and gals. Seeing as it is a participation sport, does anybody have a hymn that they would like for us all to sing?
19.
Yeah. There is a fine.
Yeah.
Would you believe it's nearly... Our insulation is working overtime, Norman. It's 23 degrees in here.
22 outside.
Yeah.
It's almost 24 in the window, so.
Have you got one, Dad?
What?
Have you a hymn that you'd like for us all to sing?
Which book are you talking about?
Whichever book you want. You got one, William? You don't have to have one.
But you better have one.
There's no, you don't get an X against your name. It's not like turning up at school and you get a...
Whatever, top action's underneath it. The precious Lord, take my hands. What about that?
What number is that?
29.
That'll do.
Sorry, I can't get the number. Is there power in the blood?
Yes, that's 20, I think, or 21.
In the read back book.
What did you say it was? There it is, 29.
What's
and
the name?
Power in the blood. I guess round of 20. I saw it there, so skipping by.
4 big long verses.
23. 20. Four big long verses. You know what? We're going to complain to the same guy who complained to about long chapters in the Bible when it comes to
reading.
So did everybody get
34.
And they
Blackboard.
Can get 34.
Yeah,
Jehovah's sake. Yeah. I think that's what you got to pick. Except you missed it, Bradley. 1, 2, 3, 4. Did you get one?
No, but that's okay. You
no,
can't
ahead.
Wait if there's an opening.
Keep going ahead. That's too long.
Let's go with 3, 5, 3. I have 2, I can't decide.
Women's votes are illegal here.
Did you say women's votes are illegal? So I don't need to vote in November, is that it?
No, you definitely need to. I'll make sure you do.
So Ms. Buffett, we will collectively pull our funds together here in America just so we can...
I've applied for my absentee ballot, and I got confirmation that they received the application. I should get it at the end of September, beginning of October.
So every month, one of us needs to text Monica.
This is going to sound like an argument of your church pastor, Bobby. How can we now, Ms. Bobby, give your full title. How can we then be certain that someone will not intercept this ballot and then put on...
I no longer have certainty. I used to. Are you recording?
Mm-hmm.
Take this off.
I used
to have certainty because one of my mom's best friend worked in the polling station. And when mom would arrive to vote, she would always say, Monica's ballot got here. So I always knew I had voted, but I vote somewhere else now, and so I don't get that anymore. It was a small town, and so she would just let mom know that it had arrived. So I used to know it arrived, but now I don't.
Probably your vote's more protected than the one that's said.
Yeah.
I think you can check electronically, though.
For a guy that spent his whole life working with and on computers, I wouldn't trust him as far as I throw him because of the shenanigans that people get up to. But we're here at 10 or a quarter past, depending on how accurate your watch is. And let's say a prayer and then we'll sing some songs. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, Thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength, for bringing us all together, and for watching over us, for keeping us safe, Lord. Most importantly, Lord, for the saving of our souls, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, the wisdom and the good sense to choose you as Savior. Please bless each one of us. Please be with Will. Hope he gets to being back at himself before too long. For John McGowan, we do indeed miss him and pray about his shift work. For Christine, Mary Ann, Ling, Dr. Shank, and Frank, for Colin, for Steve, and for Pat, Lord. We just pray for all those that have been and gone, and we pray, Lord, that all of your children, Lord, just give us a shake, Lord, or whatever it is that they need. And help the sleeper to awake, Lord, and to open our eyes and see what's going on around us, and to walk a bit closer with you. Lord, pray that you would too bless Israel. Protect those young men and women that are on the battle fronts across the world, but specifically Ukraine and Russia. And Lord, that souls would be saved. And Lord, that you would come quicker. But most importantly, for your will to be done. We just love you and thank you. We ask all this, Lord, and that you would be one of our company this evening as we take time to lift up your praises and sing your songs, Lord, and read and study your word. We love you and praise you, Father. Amen. Amen. All right, we have plenty of songs this evening, so let's take them. We'll take them just in the order that they appear in the book. We're starting with number 11. Is that one of our picks?
Number
11. And was it number 11?
Number
19. Did anybody pick a number 11?
I don't think so.
Maybe that was me. Number 29 in the wee book. Precious Lord, take my hand. Failure there. Thought someone would pick number 11. Maybe that was me. That might have been me. All right, 29 in the wee black book. Precious Lord, take my hand. Let's, we'll remain seated as we sing. Four verses. Sometimes, and with the utmost respect, I think sometimes whenever we're singing that, I think of the Lord, take everybody's hand and help them to understand the Bible readings, and but more importantly, the sermon whenever I bring it. But we certainly need the Lord to help us these days. We're swapping books, folks, if you'd like to take to the big book and turn to number 23. We've also got 19 to sing there, but we won't sing that just before we either finish or before we open our Bibles for Bible study. There's power in the blood. Hymn number 23, if you would like to stand as we sing and make a joyful noise. All these words will be in red. These are the quoted words of the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labour, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast laboured, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put none other burden upon you. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Thank you for your patience. God bless you. Just want to remind everybody to make sure that they get one of those little blue. Doesn't quite match my shirt, but it's supposed to match the summery skies, just like the walls in here. Make sure you get one of those little blue prayer lists. We have a few prayer requests extra on top of what we have, and we would appreciate your prayers for Will's work colleague Hannah, for Beryl's daughter-in-law Michelle. I think she has, is it tomorrow she has this interview? Please do pray for her. Her husband passed away, or was buried. Passed away this time last year, so please do pray for her. And please do pray for Christine's neighbour, Sharon's friend. I think there's stuff going on in the family there. Please remember them. Don't forget private prayer requests. And of all of our thanks, I'd just like to remind you all that Ed Bissett, he's a pastor down in Temple Patrick in Cloudy Water. He has been so far clear of cancer. Another few months of, is it chemo? Is it technically a chemo treatment? But everything seems to be working fine for him. So we appreciate that. Is there anything else we need to add? Go for it, William.
Was there not a pastor that was arrested in Korean for preaching the gospel?
Was there?
I'm moving my bags on me this morning.
We'll look that up. I've never heard a thing about it. Well, there certainly it is creeping in here. I do remember the lady that was arrested for praying quietly outside an abortion centre for nothing else, and there's that fella Enoch down south that is still, is he still in jail or still got a, did he get out? He's still got that hanging over his head anyway, but because of that they will make sure that a guy like that can never work again because he has a felony or a record. But please do pray for all of these people, because this is the time. This is the time whenever the Christians that are asleep will be easily herded like sheep under the threat of the law. And you can be assured shooting with a Labour stroke communist pro-LGBT anti-Christian government that the pressure is going to come down even harder. So make sure you keep your eyes on the Lord at all times. Amen. We'll have a quick prayer and then we'll continue. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, indeed for all your many helps and blessings. We commit to you our prayer request upon the wee blue prayer list. Especially, Lord, our thanks for Ed. And Lord, even for being here for another week. And the many other things that you have done for us, Lord, that we will probably never know about in this life. But thank you for loving us and for watching over us, Lord. For your Son, Christ Jesus, and for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Please be with Will's friend Hannah, our work colleague Hannah, for Michelle, Burl's daughter-in-law, and the 1 year anniversary of the passing of her husband. For Monica too, and her dad, and the 1 year anniversary of the passing away of her mother and his wife. Lord, I know there are many that are still feeling the loss of loved ones. I pray, Father, for just a wee touch of comfort, Lord, please. For all those out there, Lord, that got a chance to hear the gospel at any time in recent history, Lord, I pray that you would not be done warning them of sin and judgment to come, and speaking to them, Lord, comfortably. Lord, please save our souls. Thank you for all your many helps. I pray that you be one of our numbers. We take this time around your word. And we pray most importantly, Lord, for your will to be done. We love you and praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Right. We have more songs to sing. What else do we have here? Jehovah said, can you? That was our closing hymn. Hymn number 353. 353. Is From Every Stormy Wind. Amen. 353 in the books, From Every Stormy Wind. 19, if you would like to scoot to the far end of the wee black book, or the wee black book, the big book, number 19, there is a fountain. Five verses, if you're fit, stand and sing with me. Number 19, there is a fountain. Number one, it's good to see each and every one of you here. Don't forget, there's There's a great dearth. There's what the Bible says. There's a famine in the land for the word of God. And to buy even the food. I haven't seen too many people with sunken eyes and looking too hard done by as far as food goes, but there's definitely a famine in the land for the hearing of the word of God. Let's do a little bit to remedy that here this evening. This is the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Then Jesus, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that died, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to read and study your word. And I pray, please, that you would take it and help us to use it in our lives. And, Lord, don't be done with us. And please be with all those, Lord, that have opened your word and are reading and studying the full counsel of it. Please bless those that aren't here, Lord, and restore them to fellowship and to just company with us. We love you and praise you, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I didn't give you a title at the start of the message, but it is Making a Silk Purse from a Sow's Ear. And as you may have noted, we spoke in John chapter 9 this morning. And I already had this thought from before, and I thought, what better and what more notable miracle, with the exception of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is there than the resurrection of Lazarus? And I want to give you a few wee thoughts as we look at this awful situation. We look at friends of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus used to go and visit them frequently, and he stayed there whenever he was in Bethany. And he gets word that Lazarus is sick. And Jesus knows straight away what's going on. He knew before the messenger even came. And he waited. He literally waited until Lazarus was dead, and then he made the journey to Bethany. And I always said about people saying stupid things, I still don't get why Thomas, which is called Didymus, said, Let us go also that we may die with him. But sometimes people just have to say stuff, and sometimes it doesn't make any sense. But for all the years, I have never come across a suitable explanation, except for the fact that here we have mortal people in the presence of God Almighty, and who knows what God is going to do. So the Lord ends up there. And it is a disaster. People are weeping and crying. Mary and Martha, their hearts are broken. That pretty much might leave them destitute not to have a man about the house. Hearts are broken. And Jesus asks where he is. And of course, the Lord's heart's broken as well. Because the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, tells us that upon not being aware of their grief, but upon experiencing their grief. And understanding that, as well, that Lazarus is going to have to die twice in this world, Jesus wept. And then, of course, we think that people are watching Jesus and they're thinking, well, if this man that could cure the blind, which he did in John chapter 9, he helped a man to see that had been born blind. If this man could, surely he could have healed him when he was sick and just raised him out of his sick bed. Like a lot of things, people need to know that Jesus is not just a healer. He's not just a wise speaker. He is the God of life and death, of the whole of creation. And at any given time, it is his power that holds the whole of reality together. And you see those nuclear explosions that we see? That was only a tank. I think someone worked it out for the likes of Hiroshima. It was the total conversion of only a few grams of matter to energy that wiped out Hiroshima and Nagasaki during the war. A few grams of the released energy of God that holds matter together totally annihilated tens of thousands of people, two cities. Surely this man could have done something. Surely he could have saved all of these people with their hearts breaking. Surely he could have lifted this family out of destitution and set Lazarus back at his feet. Man of the family takes the lead and earns a crust so that his sisters can eat and live with him until they're married off. I don't know about you, but I'm old enough to have seen far too many funerals and had to take part in most of the funerals that I have been a part of over the past 10 or 15 years. And it is most definitely the sow's ear. It's not a pleasant task. It's heartbreaking. It makes you think. It really does make people think. In fact, the Word of God says it's far better for a person to be in the house of mourning than for the house of feasting. Because you're thinking. You're thinking. And even though this was going to literally be a silk purse, it didn't come without tears, and it didn't come without grief. And we all know that the Lord called Lazarus forth out of the tomb, and he came forth bound in the grave clothes. And the Lord said, "Release him and let him go." And because of this, many people believed on the Lord. But sadly, also because of this, many of the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they literally put a contract out in Lazarus. They tried to have him killed too. Because when he was talking to people about what Jesus did for him, people were believing. And they only had to say, "Look, Freddie will tell you." And Freddie will say, "I was there at the graveside. I was there at Lazarus' sickbed. I saw him die. I saw the body prepared. He was dead." Just like the Lord said to Mary and to Martha, he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, yet though he be dead, he will live forever." And that is the promise to every soul that puts their faith in Jesus Christ, that does what God says. He made a silk purse out of this sow's ear. That's a really, really old saying. And silk purses were much sought after. I don't know what ladies used to keep in their silk purses, but they were a thing. I suppose it's a little bit like ladies' shoes today, when they like to collect them and have them lined up in rows and color-coordinated and this, that, and the other. But you're not going to do that with a pair of worky boots, with steel toe caps and a steel shank. And that leather that doesn't shine, unless you put an awful lot of work into it. A silk purse is a silk purse, and a sow's ear is a sow's ear. But as I was even thinking about this, I started to think about all of the people that the Lord had touched, just in the Gospels and even in the Old Testament, and whose lives had been changed, always for the better. Another one of... Do you know what? I don't know if you can say fortunate people or unfortunate people that was raised from the dead was Jairus' daughter, the leader in the synagogue. Whenever Jesus came back I think he was over feeding the 5,000 and walking on water, and Jairus grabbed him as soon as he got off the boat and said, my daughter's dying, will you come and heal her? And you remember the woman that touched the hem of his garment, and he stood around, and who is it? Who touched me? And as the Lord in Jairus' eyes was dithering about, he said, "My daughter's dying, Lord, we need to come." And of course we know that the Lord said to the woman with the issue of blood, he said, "You know what? Your faith has saved you. Trust in me has saved you. Off you go and be well." And she felt the issue of blood dry up. And Jairus' daughter, that someone came and told him, "Look, it's too late, she's dead." And Jesus healed her.
and there was another. Sow's ear turned into a silk purse. What do you think they went on to do? Family saved by Lazarus. Another family's grief just wiped out just like that. Their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ assured, pointing in a whole different direction. Of course it's better. Anyone remember the widow woman's son? When the disciples were walking on their many journeys and the Lord never just happened to be walking somewhere when someone needed them. And there was a funeral procession and the widow woman, her only son, had died. And they were walking him out to bury him. And he called him back to life. Can you imagine the difference that that makes to a person to have their loved ones returned to life? With Jesus demonstrating his power over life and death. I know people will ask, well, why can't we have that today? If you were to study the biology of it, these bodies just don't last. They don't. 6,000 years ago, they were designed to live forever. And even with sin, they lived until they were nearly 1,000 years old. But ever since the flood and the world changed, I think the Lord said we lived for 120 years, but we've sort of leveled out at about 70, so-called, give or take. There's many stepping off into eternity before 70, but then there's also quite a few that are living well into their dopage. I must remember what I'm saying. I guess I got hiding behind the bike sheds after school. And more power to you is all I can say. Because as I get closer to it, I'm gladder of it, let me tell you. That's just it. There is no passing away of a loved one. That's not a disaster. Someone that passes away in their dotage, they have children, they have grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren. They have friends. It's not a happy time. But in every one of these instances, the Lord turned Saul's ear into a silk purse. Only the Lord. Nobody else could do that. Couldn't even do it today. But there were other examples. Does anyone remember the demoniac of Gadara? It's worth reading that because the Bible says there were actually two of them. But it only ever records one getting right with God. There was a man that had been cast out and away from family and friends. He had opened himself up to demonic possession through whatever means nobody knows, but I'm sure it started small, so always beware of that. You give the devil a seat in the porch and before you know it, he'll be making himself comfortable in your bed. And he was like the Incredible Hulk. This man that is glorified. We had napkins with the Hulk and Iron Man and Captain America on. But we glorify a man that is completely out of control. We paint them green and call him the Incredible Hulk. The demoniac of Gadara was up. Nobody could lay a hand on him. No chain, no rope could hold him. Some of us think, I'd like to be like that. Huge, big, bulging muscles and be able to punch these things in the nose and completely demolish buildings. Well, it might seem great, but the downside is, what about your family and friends? What about your mother and father? What about your wife? What about your children? That you're so crazed with power that you don't even recognize anybody and they cast you out. And all that he could do was run through the tombs, cutting himself and crying. How many people behave like that today? That's a real pig's ear, a sow's ear of a life. And it wasn't until Jesus Christ came along and he saw him and he came running up to him. Because even though he was possessed with devils, he could still decide to do something. And he ran to the one man that could save him. And Jesus did. He cast the devils out. There was a legion of them. And he went in and all the pigs, doesn't mean there was one for each pig, but there was one for the leader of the pigs at the very, very least, and a few other besides. They all ran down into the water and killed themselves. That's what they had been trying to do to that man for years. And he was fighting them for all he was worth. And instead of being an out-of-control maniac that nobody could imprisoned or tied down, that used to terrorize the tombs and abuse his body. He became a preacher. When the people came back, they found him clothed and seated at the Savior's feet in his right mind. And whenever he asked to go with Jesus, you know what Jesus said? You're the preacher. Go and tell everybody you know what great things that God has done for you. Now, if you were to ask him, which one do you think he would rather have? A mind going 20 different directions, out of complete control, that nobody wanted anything to do with, or a child of the King of Kings with a divine unction to go and preach the gospel? Be able to go back to your family, be able to tip the cap, be in such a position that people say, you're the crazy man that used to be in the tombs. How come you're here, you're normal, you're just like everybody else? He said, one of you should say that. I came across a man called Jesus, the Messiah, and he cast those devils out of me, and he told me to tell you that the same love that he had for me, he has for you. And he wants you to repent of your sins and trust in him alone. That is a silk purse. Can you imagine the love that his family had, the relief that they had whenever they saw him back again? Knocking on the door. Mom, Dad, I'm home. Darling, I'm home. Are the children still okay? The relief even for himself. And a definite direction for his life. He already spoke about the woman with the issue of blood, but what a change her life became. Spent all of her money on doctors, not one of them could help her. She just got worse and worse. But when she ran across Jesus, Jesus fixed her as soon as she touched the hem of his garment. That was most certainly a silk purse out of a pig's ear. If anyone remember, I think it's in John 4, it talks about the woman at the well. Jesus was out with the apostles, and they stopped at a well, and he sent them into the town to buy some Subways and a couple of cappuccinos. And there was a woman at the well, and they asked her, give us a drink. Of course, the introductions were made, and he said to her, go and get your husband, because it's not for a man and a woman to be alone together. Not, just not quite right. Go and get your husband. She was a train wreck. She had 5 divorces. She had married 5 husbands. She had 5 divorces as she sought for the perfect man. She was living with number 6. But she found the man she really needed in number 7, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, I know all about you. I know about your 5 husbands. I know about the man you're living with. What you need is me. You need Christ at the center of your life. And she turned on her heels and ran back into the town and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Son of God? Is this not the Messiah? And everybody came out. And he showed her what she needed. But everybody else found out too what they needed. And they pleaded, pleaded with God, with Jesus Christ, to stay with him. And he stayed with him for a while. And he preached the gospel. You know, sometimes when you have something for so long, you start to take it for granted until you see what effect it has on people that have never had it before, and they're full of the joys of spring. You should never forget that. Remember Naaman the leper in the Old Testament? When I think about that, about the one man named the Syrian, the great general. He was a leper, much esteemed and a fearsome warrior, but nobody wanted anything to do with him because he had leprosy. One man. He was dying on his feet even though he had the praise of the king, and everyone was scared witless of him. But he was riddled with leprosy. And God healed him. He went and visited Elisha. That's Elijah's prodigy. And Elisha healed him and sent him on his way. Was that a better result? Or a worse result for Naaman? It was a better result. In fact, such a good result, I would even put Naaman along with Nebuchadnezzar, because Naaman said, from here on in, I'm only going to worship the God of the Jews, the God of the children of Israel. But just one proviso, and I pray they'll forgive me, my master worships the God Rimmon, and he leans on my arm. I'm his escort, and I need to go into the temple. But apart from that, I'm going to worship the God of the Jews. You got a preacher in the middle of an enemy country whenever he met with God. And these things happen time and time again. Does anyone remember the widow woman of Sarepta that Elijah was sent to, go and stepping back another few years? You talk about a disaster, a famine in the world. God had been feeding Elijah with bread and meat from the ravens by a wee river until it dried up, and he sent them into a different part of the land, and he came across a woman just gathering a few sticks to make some bread and die. And Elisha said, make for me first. Just make me a wee cake, and then make for your family. And she did. And Elijah told her, because you've honored God, God's man, God's prophet, the cruse of oil and the cruse of meal that you used to make those last few cakes will not run out until the famine is over. They were dead. They would have died within a week or two after cooking up the last of the cakes. Why not? Why not do what the man of God said? We're going to die anyway. Why not share it with them? And they have the promise of life. And life eternal, of course, as well. And the penultimate one I would like to share with you is the thief on the cross, probably the best one. You talk about, I'm standing here and I'm telling you, he probably got everything he deserved. He probably got a good hiding. And I'm sure he wasn't treated any better than Jesus. He probably had the cat of nine tails. He was probably slapped and kicked and spat upon. Probably had, you know, like they used to do in the old England, throwing the rotten fruit at them and laughing at them and pointing a finger at them. Says, I knew you had come to a bad end, young fella. You should have listened to the minister. I had somebody say that to me one time about a young fella that used to come to the church. And I was up in hospital. There was a wee fella there. Two big coppers. Must have been one of the older type coppers about 20 years ago. And he says, "Look, you, John." And he looked over. He says, "Mark, how are you?" The copper said to him, "How do you know that young fella?" Because they were there for him. He seemingly had put his fist through his mother's window and cut himself, and he had to be stitched up again. I said, "You know what? He used to come to Sunday school." You know what the copper said to him? "John, you should have listened to your preacher. You should have stayed in Sunday school. And he's dead since because of drugs." What a waste! What a disaster! That's exactly the same thing that the thief on the cross was heading for. You and I would have said, he deserves everything. He's stolen from us. He's mocked people. He's hurt people. He deserves it. You know what? He never claimed anything else. He did deserve it. Jesus never said, "Oh, you didn't deserve it." Jesus probably said, he said to his friend, "We're here because we deserve it." But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. Remember the words that he said? "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's what he said. "I am so sorry, Lord." The Lord heard the words. You know what Jesus also does? He looks past the words into the thoughts and the hearts behind them. And he said, "Verily, this day you will be with me in paradise." You talk about a pig's ear of a life. A fitting end for a rotten life. That's what he had. But even then, even whenever he himself was bleeding out on the cross, even whenever he was nailed and gasping for his last breath, the Lord was still in the saving business. And he said, "Verily, you will be with me in eternity in paradise this day."
Nobody else to gain anything from that. A weeping mother, still going to lose her son. A disappointed father, maybe glad to be shot at him. All of his neighbours and friends, thanking the Lord for justice. As far as they were concerned, it was a good result. He was going to be dead. The only person that was going to help. The only person that got a bright future, forgiveness out of that, was the thief on the cross. And for him and him alone, the Lord turned that pig's ear into a silk purse. But one last example, does anybody know what it is? Or who it is? It's us. Each and every one of us. I don't know what you all were into before you got saved, but I'll tell you what I was into. I was into witchcraft. I was into paganism. I even had a book on Satanism delivered to me whilst I was studying in the Union Theological College, the place that trains Presbyterian ministers. I was trying stuff out there. And things were happening there that scared the life out of me. And started me asking questions. And it was shortly after that I met a lady in the hotel that I worked in during the summer that pointed me, brought me to church, and I was saved in that church. I was mixed up in that. I never drank, I never smoked. That was always for mugs, and I had computer stuff and models to buy with my money. And I was heading for a nervous breakdown. I was heading for hell. And I didn't know a thing. But that lady that came in who had just gotten saved, she had literally taken her first step off of the broad road that leads to destruction, and I was there to save. And it was a year or two later, after a handful of visits, up to visit with her and have go to church with her and have lunch with her, and then up to Derry to do the orders for Desmond's. A couple of years later, I got saved. And Jesus turned what might have been a much shorter, more abrupt, very disappointing life. He took that and turned it into mine. One where I get to preach the gospel. I got to speak in the biggest church in Derry today. Biggest church probably in Northern Ireland. There were over 200 cars parked at it. Maybe upwards of 1,000 people. Not all of them sat still and paid attention, but I got to preach. God is good. And he's turned what might have been a short but profitable life into a much longer, more spiritual and profitable to him life. He turned a pig's ear into a silk purse. If you think of Paul the Apostle, he was a bad boy, a murderer, a thief, a liar. Turned into one of the greatest gospel preachers. His words are recorded the whole way through the New Testament. And they're there for us today. And you know what, friends? Every single soul that has met with Christ and chosen him as Savior has had a pig's ear of a life turned into a silk purse. Never forget it. Never lose sight. Never, as we were reading in the book of Revelation, never leave that first love. Keep it. I've spoken to many mechanics. I've even seen it myself. Carpenters, anything with a moving part, anything with a hose, even our own bodies, you have to keep things moving and clear, otherwise they're going to fail. You have to do, and you have to do the very same with your Christian life. Keep moving, keep studying, keep walking with the Lord. And he can turn any pig's ear of a life into a silk purse. That is his promise. The Bible is full of examples of it. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. If he hasn't done it for you already. God bless you. Thank you for your good time this evening. Amen. Our closing hymn is number Jehovah Said Can You, whichever one number that is. 34 in the Wee Black Books. Pray that I always like to finish with this one because it's like a wee gospel message. And enjoy sending everybody home with this tune on their lips. Hymn number 34 in the Read Like Books. If you'd like to take a turn there and stand with me as we sing this closing of our hymn. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's make a joyful noise as we close out this Sunday evening.
Pray you have a good week. Hope that you got well sung and praised and prayed and preached throughout your Lord's Day, and that it sees you through until the next time you get into the Lord's house. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for this little bit of time we've been able to spend in your house. Please use it, Lord, to keep us pointed in the right direction. Keep pointing true north, Lord, as we go from one end of this week to the next, or from one visit to your house to the next. You know everything that we need, Lord. Please give us this day our daily bread and the days ongoing from here for wisdom and strength, survivability, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would curse all those that curse you and your people. And, Lord, that you would bless those that bless your people. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for saving us. And I know, Lord, you're the Alpha and the Omega, and you'll not start a work and not finish it. And I pray that you would continue on with us, Lord. Don't be done with us. Please be with our absent brethren. Please be with your children everywhere, Lord. Help us all to do the best we can for you. Because we're saved, we're going to heaven. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Guys and gals, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. Amen.